is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Having a child with autism is one of the biggest challenges a parent has to face. At Autism Parenting Magazine, we know there are moments of sadness, anger, and exhaustion. Many times, you feel alone and need support from the autism community. That's why we created the award-winning Autism Parenting Magazine. Every month, we feature the latest coping strategies, therapies, and expert advice for autism parents to inspire and bring hope. Join over 37,000 readers today and get a free issue of Autism Parenting Magazine by going to autismparentingmagazine.com.
It's never too early to start thinking of the next family vacation, but the usual problem always remains. Visit the same place year after year or enjoy a truly unique experience in the mountains of northern New Jersey. The Great Divide Campground has been serving camping enthusiasts for over 50 years, maintaining the idea of camping, just refining it each and every year. Guests are able to bask in the sun and fun of the scenic Appalachian Mountains by day and take in the moonlight by night. The Great Divide Campground features full events calendar with live music, a lake for fishing and boating, and a brand new playground for the kids. The Great Divide Campground has fully furnished air-conditioned cabin rentals available with plenty to do or not to do, depending on your idea of a vacation. The Great Divide Campground is less than an hour away from Newton, New Jersey. More information available online at campthegreatdivide.com or by phone at 973-383-4026. 973-383-4026. The Great Divide Campground, just a stone's throw away from the city.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back in another edition of Hope Saves the Day. I'd like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Gukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you back on with us again this week. We had a great casino night event. It was a full house, and I think it was a pretty successful event overall, and it seemed like everybody had a great time, which is what it's all about.
Yeah, it was great.
Hopefully we'll have a tally shortly to see actually how much money we raised that night so that we can do more here in the autism community, because without your support, we wouldn't be able to. We have a great social media topic this week. It's about how much do you know about obtaining guardianship for your child with autism? Can he or she make the transition into adulthood? We wanted to hear from our listeners who have gone through this situation and maybe pass along some advice. And we wanted to hear from you, the listeners and the followers, who have questions and concerns regarding this. And we also will discuss, you know, later in the show a little bit about research and some of the actual topic information from a professional standpoint. We had a lot of responses to this, some really good stuff. One mom wrote in, she has a child with severe autism who's now actually in his late 30s. She started the process of guardianship for her son when he was 16 years old. And there was really not many options in her opinion at that time. She was not going to allow him to the group to go into a group residential facility. And obviously due to the severity of how he was, he really couldn't make any decisions on his own or provide for himself. The process was extremely long and confusing, she said, and there was extreme relief when finally she had official documents in her possession. So that was from one mom. There was one mom who has a 14-year-old son with Asperger's. Her husband and herself, they intended to begin the necessary paperwork before he was 16, but they did not feel like this was something that, you know, will be in place for his entire life, and they were concerned with, you know, being able to sign legal documents, keep up with appointments, not have the appropriate life skills when he was 18 to cope within society, because he needs a few extra years to make sure he's on the right track, she said. There was a mom of a 17-year-old who wrote in, has a daughter with autism, and she began doing the guardianship process for her daughter just about a year ago, and the court is really seems to be taking its time, and she's actually starting to worry about this. She's going to be 18 in March, and she said she's going to call for an update, and she's being told that it's being processed, and the orders have to be signed by a judge that he is in agreement that should get guardianship, and now she's waiting on the certified papers from the state. So, you know, it's a scary topic. It really, really is.
It's a lot of concerns about this.
There's a lot of information. I know, Lynn, you have some of the legal matters of, you know, to consider, as well as I have some here too. But if you want to start us off with some of the legal stuff, just to kind of let parents know how to start the process, I guess, and what they can look forward to doing and how to kind of get this all in motion.
Okay. Well, as far as the guardianship paperwork, it's going to differ from state to state. I'll go into later on, maybe I have some, if people are looking for information in New Jersey. But some things to consider whether you want to obtain guardianship or not is whether your child can make decision about money, whether they can make their own decisions about health care, make their own decisions about residency. An adult can simply walk out of school or out of work, giving no information about his destination. People with the spectrum face challenges with taking on the responsibilities of adult life. They may not be able to adequately understand money, sex, or health care issues, and they may not have the emotional ability to handle such issues under stress. So those are the things that you want to look out for. To help parents or caregivers manage the situations, the federal government and individual states offer a variety of caretaker options which can be tailored to individual abilities and needs. By far the most intensive option, for managing the affairs of an adult with special needs is full legal guardianship, and that's if your son or daughter is very severe, particularly when there's a severe disability. What if your child's autism is less profound? And that depends on the state. Full legal guardianship may strip your child of many legal rights, including the right to marry without consent, vote, or even choose his or her own home. So, again, it depends on the severity, whether you want to obtain that legal guardianship for your child. I know in my case, with my son being this severe, I would have to have full legal guardianship. Me and my husband, I would have to have full legal guardianship because he can't make any decisions. He can't sign his name. He can't vote, you know, all those things. So you want to make sure that you have that in place. You can establish guardianship of a child by filing papers in court, a petition stating your interest in obtaining guardianship along with a filing fee. The court will set up interviews with you and possibly your child, the child's parents, or anyone else who may have an interest. In some cases, the court may order a home visitation or an inspection, and a criminal background check of a would-be guardian is usually conducted. In all matters involving children, courts use the best interest of the child. Most states require you to sign an oath stating that you accept the responsibilities of the guardianship. Once the judge has approved your guardianship petition, he or she will give you an order to establish guardianship. Be sure to check your local government's website for instructions. So that, I guess, is the main crux of it, is the severity of the child and the state that you're in, and definitely I had read in several places to seek legal counsel to make yourself a legal guardian.
Right. I mean, one of the things they do say, though, you don't need an attorney, actually, but you might want to consider hiring an attorney with an expertise in this area, because obviously each family dynamic is extremely unique, and there's many different, you know, significant choices and decisions that have to be made in this process. You know, just to put it out there, but it's a very long process, you know.
Well, in New Jersey, I know this is what happened to us, that they had told our, we were lucky that our school district and where my son had been reevaluated for, when he was younger, they had told us to make sure that guardianship, and I think one of the people who responded mentioned it, when by the time they're 16, you can have start the paperwork going, because by the time they're 18, their services are cut off unless you're made in New Jersey anyway. Legal guardianship, they're not, you won't be getting any schooling after 18 as funded by the state. So you want to make sure that at least in our state, it's until age 21 that they get education up to covered by the state up to age 21. So you want to make sure that that guardianship is in place.
Now, how does that work if let's just say your school district offers, you know, the program to 21?
Right.
Do they still need that as well?
Still need that, exactly.
They still need it.
And that's what people don't know. So I remember them telling us that the next your child is legally, as of right now anyway, the way the law goes, every 3 years you're entitled to a legal reevaluation of your child. At that point, at the next IEP, which would be for my son, 16, because we had him evaluated at 13, I think it was, there should be the paperwork at the IEP meeting, so that you can sign in. I'm just trying to see what I had here about New Jersey. Transition IEP, okay. Transition services should be part of the IEP and based on the student's individual preferences. By age 16, the student's IEP should include goals and objectives to begin to address a long-range plan that emphasizes skills that are needed for adult life. And then you can go to the Division of Developmental Disabilities, and they have a checklist. They'll offer informational sessions and educational materials on employment and post-secondary education, benefits, legal financial issues, housing and residential supports, health, behavioral health, DDD adult services, person-centered training, and transportation. The Division of Vocational Rehabilitation Centers is a state agency whose services are typically short-term in nature, but they can provide job training, education, job placement, and workshop services for adults with disabilities. After age 21, when the educational entitlement ends, the services will be provided by DDD, which is the Division of Developmental Disabilities. So, by 16, you want to make sure that you have it in place. The guardianship paper should be, what I was told is they should have it at the IEP meeting to make it easier on the parents, and then you can just sign. You don't need a, like you said, you don't need a lawyer, but the paperwork to make you and your spouse a guardian for you and me who have severe kids, and we know that we want to be full guardians, the paperwork can be there, and then you can just sign it.
Right.
And then it'll automatically, you know, it'll make the process faster. I don't know about other states how that works.
You started the process already?
No, well, my son's only 14.
Okay, so you'll be starting the process in another year.
By the time he is 16, like I said, by the next, they said before, you know, and again, nobody ever tells you these things. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not criticizing anybody in general. I'm just saying that, you know, I think we were, you know, it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, you have to kind of find it out for yourself or through other parents kind of thing.
Right, exactly. It's not like someone tells you, hey, this is what you need to do.
No one takes your side and says, look, make sure you do this. You know, I think the only reason we found out was because we went for the reevaluation, and at that time, the specialist told us, make sure that you have that in place. And then our district did mention it to us as well. We were, like I said, we were lucky, but a lot of school districts will not mention it to you. You know, so just, you know, you have to be proactive as usual. You are your child's voice, unfortunately, in our cases. And again, if your child is, and I know a couple of parents like this, where the child is high functioning, and you know, you're sort of on the cusp of, you know, well, can he make those decisions, or should I, you know, have guardianship? And that's a tough call to make. And I don't know, you know, if some of these kids, even though they are high functioning and they can understand, are they able to really make decisions for themselves? I don't know. You know, that's something that you might want to discuss with your doctor and a lawyer or whatever, and then maybe get partial guardianship or something. Because God forbid, you know, that kid gets a job or something, and then you're not responsible anymore. The kid is. The child,
right,
the adult
right,
is.
Right.
And they might not be capable of something like that. Or if they refuse medical help because they're scared, you know, they have sensory issues, what are you going to do then if you don't have guardianship?
Yeah, I guess one of the things that kind of comes hand in hand with the guardianship is setting up a special needs trust fund as well.
That too. Yeah, I didn't go into that. I don't know if you have information.
Yeah, no. I can give you a little bit on this.
Okay.
It's very important because, you know, you want to make sure that you find a third-party special needs trust that's designed to hold property provided by someone other than the special needs beneficiary, whether it's the parent, custodial, non-custodial, or anyone else that can put money in the trust for the benefit of the special needs beneficiary. And the person who sets up this trust has the right to determine where any money is left in the trust will go after death of the special needs beneficiary. Also, self-settled special needs trust is designed to hold property belonging to special needs beneficiary. As such, if special needs beneficiary is the recipient of state Medicaid program, the state program must be repaid out of the remaining funds upon the special needs beneficiary's death prior to the distribution of those designated to inherit what remains. A special needs trust can ensure that money will be available for your child throughout his or her lifetime, and that such money will not impact their access to means of tested benefits. Trustee, often the custodial parent, is designed to manage the trust for the benefit of the special needs beneficiary. The trustee would be responsible for ensuring that payments from the trust do not exceed the amounts that would render the beneficiary ineligible to receive the benefit. And this is a big one, too, because a lot of parents are divorced. A lot of parents are divorced, may want to revise his or her will and change the beneficiary designations or on the insurance and retirement benefits so that the property and proceeds are diverted to the special needs trust rather than directed to their ex-spouse or their child directly, because child support payments are viewed as belonging to the child, and there's actually a danger that such payments could disqualify the child from means-tested benefits. In order to avoid this issue, a parent may want to sign some or all the child support payments to the special needs trust. In many states, the child support obligations do not terminate at death of the non-custodial parent, and future support can still be obtained from the deceased parent's estate. It may be worth convincing the non-custodial parent to obtain life insurance in order to arrange for the proceeds to be deposited into that trust, that it continues to make child support payments on the estate's behalf. And I guess one of the questions to ask is, do you think your child needs a special trust? And these are some of the basic questions that they put out there from the professionals. A diagnosis is not required. You can consider whether or not your adult child can manage his or her contracts, finances, or resist fraud or undue influence. You might want to consider hiring a lawyer. There are many important choices and decisions to be made in this process. A special needs trust needs to be standalone from any other living trust your family may have. And a trust is irrevocable in your child's name once it's funded, but the trust owns the assets, not the child. So very important stuff for considering, you know, planning your child's special needs future.
Yeah, and it's I didn't go into it so much too, but also about you know, appointing a guardian other than yourself, and there were some things to think about there, which, you know, it's hard for people to think about these kind of things.
Well, it's a tough topic. It's a hard topic. You don't want to think about.
It's a hard topic, and you know, I know I myself, maybe in the last year or two, I finally have faced the fact that we really have to start thinking about his future. I think because he's in high school now, and you know, it's coming faster than I thought it was going to come, and I've come to terms with it. There was a certain point where I wouldn't even look up anything about it. I wouldn't think about anyone else taking care of him. But
sure.
But there are people out there, I guess, if you're listening to this program and you want to think about finding someone as a guardian, they were saying if you want to establish guardians, you can seek financial assistance, usually in the form of Social Security. And the things to think about is, do you want the continuous responsibilities of legal guardianship? Am I willing to accept full liability for the child's actions? Am I willing to enable manage the child's finances and provide records to the court? Do I have the right kind of relationship with this child? Do I want to act as a legal parent for this child? What is my relationship with the child's parents like? Do I have the energy to raise a child? Do I have time? What is my financial situation? Am I willing to spend my own money on the care of this child? Or are there any foreseeable problems with the child's relatives suddenly appearing to object and contest the guardianship? Being a legal guardian of a child is a huge responsibility with a lot to consider. And I know some people that I've spoken to, friends of mine who know, you know, who they would make guardian. I mean, some of us have no clue who we would, if something were to happen. But it is something to have, you know, some ideas to what you might want to do.
Yeah.
If you're not available to take care of your child, I mean, you or your spouse or whoever.
Yeah, I guess it's even harder.
You don't want to have a legal guardian in place. So.
I guess it's even harder if your child's an only child and you don't have any siblings. So
right,
that can even be harder. A lot of times the siblings will take that responsibility, like daughter or son, and that does help.
Yeah. You know, it's tough, though. Yeah, it's a tough issue. And, you know, like I said, I think, you know, for some reason, for me, it really, I could not even think about it until he was, like, close to this age. So I understand it's a really tough topic to talk about, and a lot of people can't even face the fact that their kid is getting older. But I think because my son has now hit puberty and is 6'3", it's like, okay, it's time to start thinking about
it. Yeah, no,
he's looking like an adult now, and, you know, he's come a long way, but, you know, I know he's going to need care for the rest of his life. So, you know, what are we going to do? You know, we do have to think about that.
Well, that's why we're starting a conversation. So we want anybody that's listening, Lynn, to write in or call in.
Right.
Our toll-free number at 1-877-HOPE-777. If you have any information or any questions on this topic, we can talk about with the experts, as well as email us at questions@autismradio.org. If you have any questions about guardianship or anything like that, we have a lot of legal team that I work with and some people that are highly recommended that do that specific area of creating trusts and also work you through the system with guardianship. So, because like I said, it's kind of hard to do on your own. I mean, unless you're pretty savvy with filling out lots and lots of paperwork,
right?
You definitely want to make sure it's done correctly.
Definitely.
But it can get expensive. You know, let's face it, to obtain an attorney is not cheap. So
right.
So anyway, it's a great topic. I think, you know, we like to thank everybody that wrote in about it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff. You know, we appreciate that. And, you know, we want to hear from you guys, you know, for sure on this topic. So anybody out there that wants to talk about it. So it's a hard thing. Like you said, Lynn, it's a very difficult situation, and you kind of put it off. You know,
I mean, you know, until the child is 18, parents have the legal authority to make all the decisions. So you really don't even, you know, in your head, you're like, okay, you know, I'm taking care of my child. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute.
Right.
You know, what happens? You know,
because think about it. This is not something you do when you have children that are neurotypical. You don't worry about this stuff because
exactly.
When they're 18, they
right.
become legal adults. But now the story changes because now this child's not capable of living on their own or getting a job on their own or going to college, most of them,
right.
Especially in our cases. I mean, that's not the case with every kid. Obviously, there's a lot of high-functioning, you know, Aspergers that are able to go to college and get careers and work. And you know, we have some in our family that are extremely successful that are college professors and have
right.
great jobs and make a great living. So they don't require that, but in our situation, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at after 18, we need to have this in the system. So,
yeah, then you need to have that in place, and you have to also start thinking about, you know, where do you see your child in the future? You know, like I said, we're privileged to be in a great town, which offers great services for my son, and you know, they do have an adult day a lot of and I think it's in the tri-state area. I don't know outside this area, but I've heard from people in Connecticut and New Jersey, New York, Florida. They have a lot of adult day programs that are available after 21, you know, where they send them out. And you and I think we had one program we did on this about different companies that are willing to train adults on the spectrum, or, you know, people with disabilities, and that we're making progress. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that people with disabilities have definitely made a lot of progress in, you know, becoming mainstreamed and also being a part of society, and that's what we're striving to push towards, because our kids are capable of doing lots of things. And the more you're able to accept that, I think that the easier it becomes to, you know, realize, okay, you know, this is what it is, and you know what? I'm proud of how far he's come, or she's come.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. It's a great, you know, conversation, that's all. Because you got parents that are in our same shoes, but maybe their child's only 11 years old or 10 years old, so they're thinking, oh, I got so much time. But let me tell you, those years,
quick,
very quick. I mean, my little guy's going to be 14 this year coming up, so got to start the conversation and start, even if you just find out what it's all about, so that when it does come time, you're ready to pull the trigger and get it done, you know.
And another thing that we were told by the experts too is that that made me feel a little bit better. It might make other parents out there feel better, because the laws are constantly changing. It's something that, in other words, like, I wouldn't make plans right now. This is what they told us anyway. Not make definite plans right now, because by the time your child is 16, let's say your child is 10, there's so many changes that are happening. There's so many more children being diagnosed. There's so many more programs that are going to be developing that you don't know what's going to be available by that time. So don't get too worked. I think that's what made me able to face it, is that there may be other things available that are not available right now, you know, because the state and the federal government, everybody, they have to make provisions for our kids, for these disability people with disabilities. And it's like I said, it's getting there. So it's something that, you know, it's progressing, and there may be more options available to you. So don't get discouraged, you know, if you think that there's not going to be room in a certain place where you want to put them or whatever. But just keep an open mind, you know, that's all. Just be able to think, okay, you know, what are we going to do?
Absolutely.
It's a discussion that you should have with your spouse or whoever, you know, the caretaker, and be able to just be able to face it at a certain point, that, you know, what are our options.
Absolutely. So, we'll keep up with that, and as new things come along, we'll let you guys know. Also want to get out there. Don't forget, Friday night at Iron Temple Martial Arts, we have Giving Hope Spectrum Martial Arts Program that combines a martial arts instructor with every therapist for every class, and it's in Lafayette, New Jersey. That's Giving Hope Martial Arts. You can go to autismradio.org and find out more information if you'd like to sign up for the class, and hopefully everybody comes out. Lynn, we'd like to thank all our listeners, as always, for the continued support here on the program and being a part of our question of the week every week. We appreciate all the people that write in and take the time to do that. We thank you, because it's starting the conversation, and it was a great topic this week that's very, very important, that needs to be definitely discussed and looked into for the future. We wish everybody a great week, and remember, until next time, everybody, hope saves the day. Goodbye, everyone.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice, and remember, hope saves the day. To show you what I see, what kind of life will I have, what's in store for me. Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything, with your love I can see their world. Like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me. There you are right by my side. I will love you till the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice and remember, hope saves the day.